Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the LiveTiles September Quarter FY21 Q1 Results. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Carl Redenbach, Co-founder and Chief Executive Officer. Please go ahead.
Great. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining the call. For those that don't know me, Carl Redenbach, CEO, Co-founder. I'm currently based in Melbourne in lockdown, hopefully out of lockdown shortly. We have joining us on the call today Jarrod Magee, the Chief Financial Officer of LiveTiles, and I'll introduce him shortly and his great experience that he's bringing into our business. We also have Simon Tyrrell, our Chief Strategy Officer, who will talk through a little bit about our product roadmap. This morning, I'm very pleased to announce our results. We've had accelerated ARR growth and, importantly, a record Q1 cash receipts quarter. Our ARR has grown up to 57.1 million, up from 33% last year. On a constant currency basis, that's 61.7 million. 44% in the last year and 227% in 2 years, which we think is fantastic growth, particularly given the circumstances of COVID. What we've seen, really, at the end of the day, is a huge bounce back in customer confidence, customer buying patterns, and particularly in the U.S. and Europe, in those two markets. We've seen us sign our largest customer deal last quarter with a very large and successful, well-branded, well-known household brand retailer that really was trying to bring their staff back into their retail stores from COVID and allow them to communicate. It's a great use case for our product because they're using our new product called LiveTiles Reach that Simon will talk about. They're using our Teams product, the Microsoft Teams product that allows you to not only do video conferencing but communicate at another level that really has had a huge take-up in COVID. It really shows you what we believe is going to be a very big tailwind of COVID, and we're seeing that not just with the results but, more importantly, as well with our pipeline of work that is growing exponentially and is really exploding. We'll have Jarrod talk through the sort of the key numbers today, and he'll go through some of the financials. Just as a quick sort of financial summary, we've got over 1,116 customers, so we added a bunch of new customers again last quarter. Cash at hand of 34.6 million. We've had record cash receipts in Q1 being 12 million, so we've seen that over the last four quarters, which is fantastic, and an ARR growth of 202% a year for the last 2 years. I'm going to be referring in this for the next 20 minutes or so to a PowerPoint or a PDF presentation that we've just submitted on the ASX platform or through your whatever platform you're getting our announcements. I will be referring to that PDF. If you want to go either to the ASX and just open that document, I'll be referring to pages in that document. I might just start just by briefly sort of providing a quick overview for those that may be new to us before I hand it over to Simon, just to talk about some of the very exciting products we're bringing to market and some bit of feedback around particularly what we're seeing in customers of all shapes and sizes. For those that don't know, we are really changing what we believe is the future of the workplace, and that is those that have had traditional intranets, which is certainly most companies above 200 users or 200 employees, have some type of intranet where they store things like policies and procedures, contacts, documents, expense forms. Could be many different things they store there, but it's literally the hub of a company. We're changing that into what we call the intelligent workplace and the intelligent intranet. Just a simple example is we're making it simple for employees to get access to information, whether it's checking their Bloomberg or checking their email or going over to Zoom or Teams or whatever technology you're using. We're putting that into one single interface. We're making it really easy to get to, and we're using the latest in artificial intelligence to deliver that information. Really, a key thing, and I'll talk to this in a bit of a later stage as well, is our business model. We are an enterprise software as a service company. We've had Gartner and Forrester, which I'll talk to at the end, come out and recognize us as the leaders in the market next to some big names like Microsoft, Atlassian, and Facebook, putting us in the same categories, which I think is pretty extraordinary for a company that's really only 5 years old. And from our perspective, we're just at the start of what we think is a very exciting journey. And the COVID and what we're seeing in the last quarter and the uptake of not just the software deals that we closed, but most importantly, the pipeline of work, we see that there is a real appetite for remote workers. There's a real appetite to provide digital tools to people that would traditionally be in the office and maybe do a lot of the stuff in the office. The world has changed overnight, and we're in a very fortunate position that we can take advantage of that change. So that's something we're looking forward to. So what I'll do now, just refer briefly to page 9, which looks at our product portfolio. And we have four key products. We have our Livetiles Intranet product, which is really about that hub, that central place to go. We have Livetiles Reach, which, as we've noted, is one of our largest deals we've just done last quarter. And that's really about employing, allowing frontline worker employees, so particularly retail, healthcare, manufacturing, where a lot of the employees may not have access to communications. They may have been getting sent literally in the mail, brochures or in a staff room, physical documents printed on the walls. That is a lot harder to do in this environment, and there's a bunch of reasons why you need to provide digital tools to those employees and digital communications. And that's what Livetiles Reach has done, and that retailer we talked about, we've done an incredible job of not only getting all of those 55,000 workers connected and communicating, but being able to do it at a very fast rate. So typically a project that might take, you know, 3 to 6 months or 9 months, we've been able to do it in days and weeks of time. So that's a really exciting thing for us. Livetiles Everywhere, I might get Simon to talk a little bit about this. And Livetiles Quantum, which is our data and AI stack. And again, I'll let Simon talk about this. We've added just a new slide for the first time, our product architecture, which hopefully gives you a little bit of a snapshot of how do our different four products fit together. And at the very top, you'll see Livetiles Everywhere, which can be used in Slack or Salesforce or Outlook or wherever you are. And it's really allowing traditional things like intranets, corporate communications, policies to be shared everywhere. And that's sort of the central part of what we do. And then Livetiles Reach is that frontline worker employee app, whether you're using the actual mobile app or whether you're using Teams, is a great way to get to it. And last but not least is this quantum layer. So having said all that, I will now introduce Simon Tyrrell, who's based in our Hobart office with many developers down there. And I'll let Simon, for the next sort of 5 or so minutes, talk through our product roadmap and really some of the exciting things we're hearing from customers and why we're more relevant than ever today in this, as I said, sort of COVID and post-COVID world. So Simon, over to you.
Yeah, thanks, Carl, and hi, everyone. Thanks for your time. So I'll be pretty brief on this. As Carl mentioned, the product portfolio rebrand and really repositioning that we did at the start of the year has landed extremely well with customers. There's no doubt it's led to an increased clarity of understanding in our customer base and prospective customer base, but has also internally allowed us to align our future a lot more clearly as well. And you really see that in the product architecture slide, which I won't go into the detail of this, but as Carl referred to, it's about the four products that we offer in market, how they do or relate to each other, and they ultimately fit together for our customers to deliver on this vision of an intelligent workplace platform. And there's a little narrative down the side there of that slide that I encourage you to read, because it sort of pieces together how they fit together. What we've seen this year is that the intranets, as Carl said, this sort of central hub is become even more critical to organisations, but we've also been able to take advantage of the extreme disruption that's occurred to work practices globally with things like Reach. Our intelligent directory has also gone very well for us because organisations now need to know a lot more about their people, and that's what that service in our Livetiles Quantum product is all about. And then Livetiles Everywhere, getting organisations to start to think about how they engage their employees and their workforce across all the tools they have to use. If you think about your own work experience this year, how much time is spent in online meetings and then you're jumping between tools, et cetera, and Everywhere is really addressing how you can start to provide us a way to bring that together, regardless of whether you're in the intranet, you're in Teams, you could be in Marketo, Salesware, different line of business systems. Just turning our attention to page 11 and the roadmap, just to call out some key things about both the short term, which in our world short term is the next quarter, but also some of the things you'll see us doing into the long term, which is in some of the key areas we're really, really focusing on. So firstly, in the short term, you will see two new product launches. I won't go into what they are yet, but one is really about transforming the employee engagement across an organisation, making it highly interactive, highly scalable, and really allowing organisations to interact with their employee base in much more compelling ways across channels. So there's a big focus on employee wellbeing, but it's going to go beyond that use case as well. So keep an eye out for that. LiveTiles Reach, as we've said, we've seen a really, really pleasing uplift in interest and pipeline around Reach. That deal Carl referred to, there's some other large Reach deals that have landed as well. And this really, the evolution of Reach in the short term is about expanding the way you can engage your employees through that platform. You'll see us introducing some one-to-one and group chat. That's actually driven by customer demand. They want to consolidate how they communicate. And, you know, a lot of organizations are struggling with people jumping off into experiences like WhatsApp, where there is no corporate visibility, corporate control. So being able to embed that into our rich mobile experience is something that we're just about done on. Our LiveTiles intranet product is, you know, more important than it's ever been. So we'll be working on how Reach and it coexist together and really expand that modern corporate communications capability into that centralized hub, which intranets are delivering, and that's very close as well. Everywhere, we're going to very quickly evolve that and really make it about third-party system integrations and multi-channel. So what I mean by that is having Everywhere available, say, in the browser, through an extension, in Microsoft Outlook, Microsoft Teams, Slack. We're looking at things like Workplace by Facebook as well. So really looking at how you can set it up once, integrate this stuff your users and employees need, target it to certain groups of employees, but it becomes available in all the different places where they go to get their work done. And finally, the other product launch you'll see us doing is really, it's with a strategic partner, and it's really about delivering on the promise of a much smarter workplace and how people are collaborating now. And, you know, it's worth noting that in the last 6 to 9 months, we have seen globally years of digital transformation has occurred in the shortest possible time that has ever occurred in the history of technology. And so we are now in a market working with customers where our fear of change is not there, the need to change is strategically paramount to their organisations. And so a lot of the stuff that was nice to have before has really become non-negotiable. And that obviously puts us into a very, very nice, strong position with the capabilities we've got. So mid to long term, really three key themes you'll see us doing. We want to own the employee experience. And really you see that through what I talked about with Reach and Everywhere and that new product launch that I mentioned is about becoming the software brand that users you know about to get their stuff done, not trying to take on the CRM providers, not trying to take on the finance system providers, but integrating with those tools in such a way that the user engagement is actually our platform. And the way I can now deal with my pipeline as a salesperson or the way I can deal with my expenses as an employee, for example, goes through the LiveTiles platform, which means we can get some deep insights into the behavior of our users. We can get very, very targeted and smart on how we drive information to them, how we determine the best time to interact with the staff member so we don't disrupt them, we don't irritate them, we don't put extra load on them. And we think that puts us in a very, very unique position because we can embed ourselves into the work practices of staff as opposed to being a big system destination that you have to drive people to go back to. And finally, continuing to innovate. As I mentioned, the level of change and the speed of change this year has been just quite phenomenal. So we're now dealing with a much different market. And so continuing to invest in how we modernise what we do, how the technology landscape is changing. You know, very clearly, lots of organisations who were still looking to move to the cloud technologies, that's gone there. Just about every organisation in the world now has some form of cloud software, whether it be Teams, whether it be Slack, whether it be Zoom, for example. So that ability to leverage that rapid change and modernisation and being able to innovate on top of it, invest into new product offerings that build on this intelligent workplace vision that we have, that we've been working towards for, for the last few years. And all I can say is from the product's perspective is the speed at which we can do that and the acceptance in the customer base that they need to do it is what's dramatically changed this year. So it's incredibly exciting times. And hopefully that gives you a flavour of both the short-term priorities, but also where we're heading into mid to long-term and expect to hear more about that over the coming months. Back to you, Carl.
Great, thanks, Simon. And for those that sort of don't know much about Ashed, if you go to page 13, if you look at the calibres of customers, we have over 1,100 customers in 20 countries. If you look at that page, the likes of Disney and Nike, IKEA, you know, we have literally the largest companies on the globe using our software every day. Companies like Novartis that are using it with 150,000 people every single day that they open up their browser. So we have a very dominant position, and as we'll talk about at the end as well around our recognition from Gartner and Forrester, we think that's pretty extraordinary given the age of our company. We do mention a quick customer spotlight there, which won't go through now, but it really does talk to how our software is more relevant than ever in a COVID world where employees need to get communication, and it could be as simple as some safety information. It could be an expense form. It could be any type of information that end user employee needs to get. And this customer out of the US, it's an extremely large retailer, got a very fast deal to happen too, which is great. And we're able to see them able to get up and running and ultimately help their employees to start using the solution and communicating in this what is very much a different world overnight. We won't go through slides 15 to sort of 20 in any detail other than to say we have a huge market opportunity. We're just scratching the surface of it. If you look at slide 18, particularly looking at the untapped market, you know, we believe that the addressable market is 400,000 odd organisations and we are literally just scratching the surface of that market. So we think there's huge upside in what we're doing and being the market leader in our niche, we think is a great position. And for those that don't know, we have a very strong partner network, and that is getting stronger by the day. And in fact, we announced last Friday a very important agreement and strategy that we're now working with Microsoft in the US, where we're working with their SNC sales center, which is based in North Dakota there. And they are effectively out there selling the LiveTiles product, including LiveTiles Reach and our Quantum products, to their customers directly. Now, we don't pay commission to Microsoft. In fact, it's quite the opposite. Microsoft pay their own salespeople commission for selling our product, which is pretty extraordinary. And we're seeing that relationship becoming much more tighter, and we're seeing a real uptick now because of that push that Microsoft's doing in our sales pipeline exponentially growing because of that. And we just also on page 24, again, we don't have time to unfortunately go through every one of these, and happy to take questions, by the way, as we go through, and we'll make sure we leave enough time for questions. You'll see, for example, in our marketing highlights, you know, we've received, you know, 12 times the number of attendees to our events. We've seen a huge uptick, 55% of visitors to our website. And we do think this is a big part of this COVID-19. What it has made for employees. People need communication tools, they need a digital workplace more than ever. And I think we're seeing that through our marketing, through our pipeline, through our partnerships, and that's having some sort of great uptick. So having said all that, what we'll do is we're sort of mindful, we want to make sure we leave enough time for questions. I'll now introduce Jared McGee, who's our CFO, who's just joined us from LivePerson, which is a NASDAQ-listed $4 billion business, with headquartered in New York City and obviously a great international SaaS company. They're in the artificial intelligence space as well. And even in the last few weeks, we've learned a lot from Jared, who's been able to bring this great experience across this international SaaS business experience into our company. So having said that, Jared, thank you. Sitting right next to me, we are distanced apart. But I'll ask you, Jared, to maybe take us through the financials.
Thanks, Carl. So I'll now go over some of the key financial highlights for the quarter ending 30 September. Starting with ARR, which was, as Carl mentioned earlier, $57.1 million on a reported currency basis, which is an increase of $3.5 million on the prior quarter and a 33% increase on the prior year. On a constant currency basis, ARR was $61.7 million, which delivered us a 44% growth on prior year. The distribution of the ARR performance across our global business continues the positive trends from prior periods, with 55% out of EMEA, 26% out of the Americas, and 19% from APAC, with all three regions seeing continued growth in their ARR results. As Carl also mentioned earlier, during the quarter, the business grew its customer base by an extra 24 customers to a total of 1,116, with a few of the key strategic and high-profile wins, including, as mentioned, a multi-year, multi-million dollar contract with a large global apparel retailer, which was a record signing for the business, an Australian state government health department, and a primary healthcare operator in the UK, just to name a few of the great wins in the quarter, with further details in our 4C. So with the customer base uplift and continued ARR growth, this has increased the average ARR per customer up to 55,300 as at 30 September, which is a 23% growth on the prior year period, and also translates to a 72% CAGR over the last 4 years. The September quarter also saw another record quarter with $12 million in cash receipts, the fourth record quarter in a row now, and has seen the trailing 12 months cash receipts rise by 9% to $44.5 million. Importantly, over the past 6 months, the business has managed to operate to a positive cash flow position when excluding non-recurring items and government grants. This has been achieved with continued improvements in the cash burn rate and our ongoing record cash receipts. So in closing, with cash on hand, we stand at $34.6 million at 30 September. So that covers off all the key financials we see for the 7th quarter. Any further details can be found on the recent ASX announcement and our investors presentation that we're going through today. Thanks.
Great. Thanks, Jared. So look, we'll just do a few more slides. If you look at page 33 and 34, that I'll just talk about briefly just to give people an update before we sort of hand it over for a 15-minute or so Q&A. The first thing I'd say, we had a pretty amazing last few months for many reasons, notwithstanding that we continue to grow ARR in what was probably the most challenging enterprise SaaS environment to certainly have complex decisions made. But we've also just recently received from Gartner and Forrester, and Gartner's probably the leading, well, certainly they are the two leading technology research firms. So think of them as Standard & Poor's or Moody's, if you want to put it in some sort of financial comparison. And those two organizations have identified us as leaders. In Forrester's instance, in the top 12, next to Atlassian and Microsoft, the top 12 companies in what they call intranet platforms. And then in what Gartner term as intranet package solutions, next to Facebook, LiveTiles has the largest revenue and the largest number of deployments. So on their research, which they've identified about 20 of the what they see are the leaders in this space. And so both of those reports, and there are some links to those reports for those that require access to it, they make it pretty clear that there is a changing dynamic in the market. There is a work from home trend that's going on. And in fact, if you speak to many of the companies out there, whilst they may not be going fully to work from home, and some companies are actually, like Microsoft, et cetera, allowing people to work from home pretty much forever, you'll see most companies are changing their work from home policies and procedures and practices where people can choose to not be in the office. Now, that doesn't mean they actually have to work from home. They might be working at a cafe, or they might be working at some other place that's not their home or not their office. And so, interestingly enough, 4 years ago, and it was the foresight, I think, of Simon Tyrrell, who's our chief strategy officer. I don't want to give him too much credit because he'll hold that over me for a while, but he's done an incredible job of working alongside Microsoft for the last 4 years to work on what we all know now as Teams. And this is pre-beta, pre-alpha of Teams. And last year, you know, we were out promoting the remote workplace, why remote working is so important and why employees should be able to have access to digital tools at their fingertips. And that's something that we've been talking about for the last 4 years. And as it happens, COVID is just now what we believe has accelerated that. And also what the great thing about what these two reports do, and we talked about our marketing, our significant increase in marketing uptake. We see that that I think has been driven by this research and this recognition that there is this really important market for these package solutions or intranet platforms. And so last but not least, we have an outlook statement on page 36, and probably one of the key things that excites us is this explosion of accelerated pipeline growth as we head into 2021. We're really seeing it now. We're seeing, as we said, more relevance than ever for our solution. We're seeing positive buying patterns. So there was no doubt the previous two quarters were much slower than we expected, much slower than we thought. However, if we can go back, cast our minds back to May, which seems like to me, I've been living in Melbourne for the last few months and it seems like an eternity ago, cast our minds back to May, the US was completely locked down. There was a panic and fear going on in the market. And we've seen that subside, particularly in the US and Europe, notwithstanding that there are still challenges ahead. We are seeing that decision-making process, particularly around digital workplaces, is still very relevant. So to us, if we look at our two biggest markets being US and Europe, we think that they're continuing to come back onto normal buying patterns. We think that the tailwinds of COVID, particularly around new products, LiveTile Reach, and the uptake of that, and again, it's a huge increase actually in sales from a revenue growth perspective, is going to again position us well for 2021 and beyond. And most importantly, our investments into R&D will see the launch of a couple of new products in the next quarter. So, and just to recap for everyone, we see this as a $17 billion market where we are the global leader in this. We're now seeing that recognised by Gartner and Forrester. Our quality of customers is exceptional. We've kept, a ridiculously high number. We've only had a handful of customers that have not re-signed their licenses in the last few quarters. Our customer retention has been exceptional. It's been best of class compared to any other SaaS company. We have very sticky recurring revenues and very high gross margins from those. And most importantly, what I think we're doing now is we're proving that on a very strong track record with our alliances with Microsoft and our other partners growing further. And importantly, we're at an attractive valuation if you compare us certainly to any of our peers in the way that we've been growing. So ultimately, we think we're in a very good spot. We're very pleased with the results to announce these today. And we're happy over the next sort of 10 or so minutes to take questions. So I might hand it back, if we can, to the moderator to facilitate any questions that are put forth.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press *1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press *2. If you are on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. We will just pause for a moment to allow questioners to enter the queue. Your first question comes from Glenn Wellham with MST Financial.
G'day, guys. Well done on the results. Just a question on the industry. I actually have been through that Gartner report, and it's quite useful in explaining who all the other players are. And there are a lot of other, even smaller players than live tiles out there. Just wondering, have they also seen a relative slowdown over the last couple of quarters, to your knowledge? And are you competing much head-to-head with those guys, and are you winning share off any of the competitors kind of named in Gartner, or you don't sort of see the comparison?
Yeah, well, look, it's an interesting market. It's definitely a new forming market. And if we look at how the way we perceive the market, and again, we're on those two different reports, Forrester and Gartner, and there are very different companies actually on those two different reports. For example, Facebook's not on the Forrester report. Atlassian and Microsoft are not on the Gartner report, so we actually don't see those companies as competition at all. However, there are definitely on those two lists what we would say as sort of head-to-head competitors. But if we sort of look at page 18 and or 17, which really looks at what we believe the market is for intranet platforms, we believe it is very much untapped. In fact, it's sort of less than 1%, maybe 2% of the total market. And it's very much an emerging market. In fact, those two reports refer to intranet platforms or intranet package services as completely new market opportunities. And so from that perspective, really what we're competing with 90% of the time is either the status quo. So a lot of these companies have deployed an intranet, you know, 10 years ago and actually are struggling with it. And to us, that's a huge opportunity, because I think you're going to see over the next 12 to 24 months, a lot of these companies have to reinvigorate those platforms because of the remote worker. And we're seeing that with a large number of tenders that are coming in now, that where an intranet goes from a nice to have to a must have. And to us, that's a key sort of differentiation point. But as far as the actual market, we typically compete with either the customer saying, we'll sort of work out how to get budget for this over time, or with a custom developer. And so whilst we have over 200 transacting partners, which are partners that I think we've changed from the dark side to the good side, which have said, yes, we recognise that software is a way to deploy this technology versus trying to custom code it, we still largely are competing with the traditional way of building either digital workplaces or intranets, which is custom code. So having said that, yes, we do see those competitors. The great news is we beat them more often than not. In fact, we have a very, very high win ratio when it comes to head-to-head competition for those. And do I think there'll be more competition? Yes, we do. And to us, in a lot of ways, that's a good sign, because it shows that we actually have a very important market. And the other thing I would say is that we are many times bigger than our next sort of sets of competitors. You know, there's one that's maybe half our size, but there's many others that are many, much smaller than us. So from our perspective, we are the largest player in the market. So that gives us that competitive edge in this competitive space.
Thanks for that, Carl. And just one other quick question. On the recent Microsoft US co-sell agreement, what sort of targets are you looking to come out of that?
Yes, certainly we have some internal targets that we've worked very closely with the Microsoft head of sales for that SMC area. We will not disclose those. However, what I would say generally is that, you know, we've seen some initial success. The program's just started and already out of the gate. And even though we're into the last of all the Q2 here, we've seen a fast start, certainly when it comes to pipeline building and some wins. We're seeing that meet expectations, and we're seeing us track to what is a very important target. Just to give you an overview of what Microsoft is interested in, this is they have a fantastic platform in terms of Teams, in terms of Azure and Office 365, and our products happen to pull what is called consumed or consumption of those products, or really active use of those products, through for all three of those products. And that's what's exciting them. And really what's exciting us is just how willing and able they are to position us into their biggest customers and to what bigger they're doing it. So from our perspective, you know, whilst it's very early days and whilst we can't release the target, we have some decent targets there, and we're hitting those, but we certainly are very pleased with its initial setup.
Great, thanks for that.
Your next question comes from Peter Seward. Mr. Seward, please go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, can hear you there.
Yeah, thanks. Firstly, congratulations on the result. One quick question. Have you noticed that COVID has changed the seasonality of your quarters? You know, there's historically been a cycle to your ARR growth per quarter. Has COVID affected that?
Yeah, look, what I would say generally, we were very, very happy with the Q1 results. Typically, Q1 is our quietest quarter for seasonality, and that's typically because our largest markets, US and Europe, are on summer holidays. You know, typically July and August are just very difficult sales months. And in a lot of ways, this was more challenging because if you look at the US and Europe, people were cooped up, like we still are here in Melbourne, unfortunately, for a long periods of time, and wanted to use their summer holidays, and therefore made probably the decision making a little bit harder. We certainly saw a big ramp up coming back in September, and there was no doubt there was a number of, I would say, deferred deals that would come back in from Q4. However, having said all of that, you know, we think that the decision-making process and the great news with our pipeline, and the reason why we've been able to build the pipeline so well and you know, keep on growing that in a very strong way, is that people are not, we've never had anyone call us up and say, oh, we don't think having a digital workplace is a good idea. It's not relevant to our company right now. Literally not one person. In fact, everyone we've spoken to has said the opposite. They've said it's more important. And in fact, if anything, it's actually slowed some of the deals down because they've wanted to make them larger deals. They've wanted to involve more business units, or they've wanted to, you know, add more modules of our product in there. And so on that basis, I don't know to what degree it's affected seasonality. What I would say, it definitely has affected the speed for decision making, which is why we think those last two quarters, the Q3 and Q4 quarters, were very difficult in terms of just getting budget sign off, because people just were not around to sign them off. We think that what we're seeing is that what I would call normal buying patterns have resumed and are resuming. And so from our perspective, that's why we're very optimistic and positive about our outlook, because that really puts us back into a very good and strong position to continue our growth as we have been for the last 3 years.
Okay, thank you. So next question's much tougher. So yeah, there was a notice of our legal settlement, about $8.5 million. And looking at the legal expenses incurred by LiveTiles, looks to be $1.5 million spent on legal fees, along with some patents. To the layman, the events before the formation of LiveTiles. So, can you tell us how come LiveTiles company was held liable, and what's the status with the loans for legal fees?
Yeah. So firstly, I'll make the general comment that we can't provide any details on legal matters for legal reasons. So that's the first general comment. However, what I would say is the following. Firstly, we're very pleased to confirm that LiveTiles has no litigation at the moment, or from anybody. So there's no outstanding litigation. So that's great news. The second thing I would say is that LiveTiles has admitted no liability in these matters. And that is a key statement. And last but not least, and just in relation to your sort of first comments, is that there are obviously, generally speaking, some obvious reasons why spending further money on legal costs, which can be expensive and can add up, as well as general uncertainty about how a matter may or may not proceed. And last but not least, particularly now, given we're Australia's fastest growing company, we have much bigger fish to fry. We need to focus on our growth. And so most importantly, that's where we're putting our energies. But unfortunately, we can't provide any more commentary than that, than what I've just given you.
Okay. Could shareholders expect any more kind of information on the matter, or is that kind of closing the matter as far as the company's concerned?
I'm sure there will be some statements in our financials that will highlight some of those costs. But as far as the matter, I think the announcement we made last week is really making it very clear our position. And importantly, as I've noted, we have not admitted any liability on this matter. So yeah.
Okay. So just quickly, there was another court case at one point by a former employee. So obviously that's closed and resolved, however it may have been. But just on the loans to directors, so what's the status with that?
Yeah, look, we'll as far as the loan status is, again, I think in relation to the matter, we've obviously disclosed those in the various annual reports. I don't think there's any further commentary that I, again, can make on it, just subject to my previous comments about not commenting on the legal matter. So yeah, obviously we will provide further details pursuant to our reporting requirements.
Okay, thank you.
Your next question comes from Siraj Ahmed with Citi.
Thank you. Carl, just a few questions. Just first thing, just on the large customer, right? Can you just give us a quantum of the size from an ARR perspective, because I believe M3 was the largest deal before. That is like more than 3 million. So just keen to understand how much the large customer contributed, I guess, in this quarter.
Yeah, look, what we've said is it's a multi-year, million dollar deal. We, for a variety of reasons, particularly given that the deal is confidential with that customer. We won't provide any further details on that. But yeah, we're very pleased to have them sign up as a you know, on particularly onto our Reach products, which is our communications platform and one of our newest products. But yeah, we certainly are not disclosing any figures or any details on that particular contract, other than what we've provided in the 4C.
Yeah, I guess I was just asking, Carl, because if you look at the pie chart where you mentioned retail and the different verticals, right, it actually looks like retail's gone down quarter on quarter, which is which I thought was interesting. Not sure if something's changed from a split perspective compared to June, but it does look like retail contribution has actually gone down.
It might be a year into, and I'll have to come back to you on that, Siraj. I think, sure. You know, obviously, the way that I think that's a year-end June book, is that correct?
Oh, it's in June. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. And then just on the pipeline, you're talking to a strong pipeline. Can you quantify that by in any way?
You look, we certainly have discussed putting out a number. We haven't provided a number, deliberately so. I can only provide some general commentary, which is we've seen it grow, and we've seen it particularly over the last two quarters, it go up significant percentage. And, you know, we again, without going in to give you exact numbers of what the actual pipeline it is, but we have seen, for example, just to give you one number, an 80% increase from the previous quarter. So ultimately, that's quite a significant increase, and I think that's giving us some great signs that COVID and normal buying patterns are back. Particularly, a lot of that is in the US and Europe. That number, and that they seem to be coming back online pretty fast, which is a really positive sign.
Got it. And just confirming that 80% number, that's is that for the overall portfolio? Because that sounded like that's just for Reach. I wasn't sure that's for the overall business.
That's for the overall portfolio. In fact, Reach has had much greater growth than that. And I believe that is, I'm not sure if we've got an exact number on that I can give you certainly now, but we've seen a much greater uptake on that. And yeah, and also the other thing with this pipeline that I should probably make a clear point on is it does not include our channel partners. So we don't, we work with a number of channel partners. This includes some of the deals that Microsoft are working on directly themselves, where we actually don't have visibility into our Salesforce system or into our CRM system that allows us to give even what we think may be a larger than that 80% we just talked about.
Got it. And just on the pipeline, I guess the good thing is with Reach, it's a faster time to market, right? 1 to 3 months compared to your internet offering. So it sounds like what you're seeing is still, you know, decision making is picking up, but it's mainly on the Reach product, and you can actually book that quite fast. Is that the way to think about it? It's really Reach that's driving this.
Well, look, the great news is definitely Reach is a much faster time to market. In fact, the retailer deal that we just announced was a very fast deal, very unusually fast deal. It was about 60 days of time to go from when we started the conversation to closing it. So we do think that there is real positivity as far as the time to deployment and time to buy with that Reach product. However, we're also seeing some very early signs of what we would call large request for proposals for very big, particularly US deals or large companies that want to deploy, in their words, intelligent intranets or digital workplaces. And as I've noted, they've gone from sort of nice to haves to must haves. And our general theory at the start of this year, when the crisis started, was we thought that budgets would be bigger than ever for intranets, for corporate comms portals, for communication platforms for employees. And we're starting to see that happen through a combination of obviously closed deals, but importantly, our pipeline and RFPs that are coming in. So it still is a mix, but there's no doubt from a speed to market and a speed to pipeline that the Reach product is having a big impact on the pipeline growth.
Sure. And thanks, Carl. And just last one, maybe one for Jared. Just looking at thinking about second quarter cash flows. I mean, you had mentioned first quarter would be a cash burn. Should we, I mean, given things are looking pretty good, typically most SaaS companies need to spend first. Is that the way we should think through, that cash burn increases, or should we think back to cash flow neutral?
So the way that I would answer that question is that obviously we've proven over the last 6 months we can be cash flow positive. In real cash and in an adjusted sense, we've been cash flow positive, which was an incredible result because we've obviously just implemented our changes only 5 months ago for cost control that we really brought into to ensure that we do not need to raise capital again, which I can confirm, and ensure that we preserve a very large and strong cash balance. So on that basis, you know, what I would say is that we'll consider growth as we go. Obviously, as the market, let's say, goes back to normality, which is the reason why we had to make those cost changes, because there was just a lot of uncertainty in the market. And now we're seeing a lot, much more certainty. We're seeing the market essentially bounce back. We believe that there's huge, huge potential for us to take advantage of that. And if so, we will continue to chase growth, but do it in a very responsible way that preserves that cash balance. And we assess it, you know, we'll assess that quarter by quarter.
Got it. All right. Thanks, Carl. Helpful. Thank you.
Thanks, Ross.
We have come to the end of our question and answer session. I'll hand back to Mr. Redenbach for closing remarks.
Great. Well, thank you, everybody. You know, we're happy to take any sort of questions at any time. We've got Maureen Baker, who's the head of our investor relations here, who can also coordinate any meetings for those that would be interested in learning a little bit more about us. We have a bunch of marketing initiatives, our Love Your Work Festival coming up, and some other sessions that we're doing with Microsoft. Welcome you to follow us on our LinkedIn or our Facebook or Instagram feeds to find those sessions out. And we thank you for joining us, and we're looking forward to the next few quarters and continuing our growth. So thank you, and good morning and good evening wherever you are, everyone that's joined. Thanks.